help us to commence with hymn 852. We'll sing the first four verses. Vain man, to boast forbear, the knowledge in thy head, the sacred scriptures this declare, faith without works is dead. 852, verses 1 to 4.
Holy Word of God, we'll read this evening a part of the 31st chapter in the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, a part of the 31st chapter. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and will make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. As yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred, holy and precious word, and help us in prayer. Gracious God, incline thine ear. Our requests vouchsafe to hear. Hear our never ceasing cry. Give us Christ, or else we die. Lord, without the Spirit of Christ amongst us tonight, our worship will be dead. But Lord, with thy Spirit, it will be life everlasting. Send down, we beseech thee, thy Spirit from above upon us, that we might worship thee, a triune, most holy, righteous God, aright. We would come, Lord, with thankfulness for thy mercies, the mercies of the open word of God, the mercies of thy day, of thy house, of thy people, of thy gospel, of the throne of grace. And Lord, we would thank thee for all providential mercies that thou dost bestow upon us, Thy word commands us to enter into thy courts with praise, into thy gates with thanksgiving. Lord, help us so to do, for we've so much to thank thee for, and yet we must confess, Lord, we thank thee so little. We would confess, Lord, our sins. We come into thy house unworthy. We come into thy house bankrupt. We come into thy house in and of ourselves, nothing but sin and disgrace. O Lord, to prove, nothing but sin we thee can give. Nothing but love shall we receive. Gracious God, may that love that thou dost have for sinners flow into our hearts tonight, and may each be able to say, Christ died for me. May mercy over the guilty reign. Lord, do come this evening. Do grant my blessing. Grant life in each who has gathered, from the youngest even up to the eldest. Lord, we each have the same need, a preparation for an ever-ending eternity. Some, Lord, are very near that eternity, and some, Lord, are a lot further away. But we will all get there. And Lord, will we all get to heaven? Will we all be safely landed on that happy shore? Oh Lord, that it might be so. Prepare us, gracious God, thy face before to stand. Oh Lord, may we not be brought there unready and unprepared, but may we be prepared by thy gracious Spirit for the immediate presence of infinite holiness. And in that moment may we look upon thy holy eye with unshrinking, triumphant faith. Lord, give us treasure in heaven, we beg. Grant, Lord, that the fear of the Lord may be implanted in our hearts, that love to thee, that hatred for sin, that confession of our iniquities, that fleeing to Christ for refuge. And do hold us by thy powerful hand, that hand once crowned with thorns. Oh, to know that those thorns, thy hands once pierced with nails, to know that they were nailed for us. That head once crowned with thorns, to know that it was crowned for us. That soul, burdened, oppressed, tormented, to know that it was all for our sins. Lord, lead us then tonight to Calvary's cross. And may we banquet with our head. Be not silent to us, but come in thy risen power on this, the evening hour of thy day. And grant to each, Lord, a token of mercy, a token for good, a token of thy special love. Quicken into life those dead in sin. Cause them to cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Deliver from bondage and darkness those in conviction. Grant, Lord, that they might leave thy courts forgiven, blessed, sanctified, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Give direction to those who know not what way to take. and give strength to walk in thy way. Feed the hungry. Give water to the thirsty and the dry ground. Break the hard heart. Lord, grant that our hearts might be prepared to receive thy word. But Lord, do work in each case. Bless any before thee with any special particular need. Lord, do supply that need. Bless this church and people. We affectionately commend them each to thee. We ask thy blessing upon the deacons of this cause, and ask that thou wilt grant them all needed help, all needed grace, all needed support, all needed blessing, and all needed wisdom in the path which thou hast called them to be in. Bless each church member, and each member of the congregation also. May this be a growing church. May it grow in grace. May it grow in the knowledge of Christ. May it grow in fruit. May it grow in blessing. And may it grow in numbers. Bring in from outside those, Lord, who thou hast a purpose of love toward. Bless those who face the world as it is in the workplace. And grant thy help. Grant thy help, Lord, to honour thee, even when others dishonour thee. To walk in thy ways when others are turning into the paths of sin and disgrace. Lord, may it not be said that we followed a multitude to do evil because we were afraid of their scorn and derision. But Lord, give us such a love to thee, and such a sight of what thou went through, that we might be willing to bear shame and derision rather than bring shame and derision on thee through sin. So, Lord, hold us fast and help us each to set a right example to others. Bless parents and help them to bring up children in thy fear. May they pray for their children, Lord, and do grant answers of peace to those prayers. Surround them with thy help, with thy protecting care, with thy mercy. Open doors of thy approving. Shut doors that are not. And grant, Lord, that there may be many Samuels among the children that gather here. Be with those who are unwell. Do grant unto them a healing touch. And sanctify affliction's pathway. Be with those who are away. Bring them back in safety and peace at the time appointed. Bless thy servants as they labour in this pulpit. And grant, Lord, that they may be given seals to their ministry and souls to their hire. So may this people be blessed with thy presence, with thy help. Lord, may the shadow of Calvary be over this place. Do bless each of thy servants who proclaim thy truth this night. And wherever thy people are gathering, gather, Lord, of each. Grant thy blessing upon each of the words that are spoken. And may there be signs following the preached word. Do come now, we beg. Lord, we need thee. do come. And bless us indeed. And receive us graciously as thy sons and as thy daughters. We ask and plead in the precious, sacred and all-prevailing name of Jesus. And for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. 379.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you this evening to the prophecy of Jeremiah, 31st chapter, and the 3rd verse. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This is one of the exceeding great and precious promises of God's holy word, a word which is coveted by all the family of God. And beloved friends, if the Lord was to say this to you this evening, you have eternal riches, which Satan, the world, and your own heart can never take from you. When God gives a promise, it is for time, it is for the moment of death, it is for when you stand before his judgment seat on that last great day, and it is for an ever-ending eternity. And if we are alive unto God, we will covet these promises. These promises which God alone speaks to his children. You remember that when our Lord rose from the dead, and the angel came down from heaven, rolled back that stone and sat upon it, that message of peace, that fear not from heaven, was not given to the soldiers, but to those women of faith. Friend, if you've got no faith, you've every reason to fear. You've every reason to dread. To those with living faith, the Lord says, Yea, I have loved thee. To those with living faith, the Lord says, Fear not. And every fear not has everlasting love at the root of it. You can't have one fear not from the lips of Almighty God without being in this covenant of love. And so, believer, this evening the Lord may not have said to you in exactly the words of our text, but if he has blessed you with a fear not, if he has blessed you with that one word, daughter, then be content with such things as ye have, because ye are surely in our text this evening, as if the Lord had come and spoken these words to you. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, Margin reading, the Lord hath appeared from afar. This is a word not just for those that are near, but those that have wandered, that have got afar off, that are backslidden. Those who were near once, but through sin, through a loose walk, through disobedience, wandered and strayed. The Lord hasn't cut you off. The Lord hasn't forsaken you. The Lord hasn't turned his back on you. He is appearing unto you from afar. Of old, to make known unto you that his covenant of grace is an almighty covenant, which not all your backslidings, not all your sins, not all your wanderings can make you fall out of that covenant or make your Lord cease from loving you. The Lord hath appeared of old. What an encouragement it is to those of you who this evening feel to be afar off. And you can't get near the Lord, can you? You would. You desire, you long, you grieve, but you can't get near. But the Lord can come to you. Here he is appearing from afar. Not you coming to him, but he's coming to you. And as he's coming to you, he will draw you unto him, but it's he that does the work. It's he that draws and he that enables. And it's he who comes and searches and seeks the lost sheep until he find it. And poor trembling afar off one at this evening. When he finds you, he won't beat you with a stick. He won't frown upon you. He'll lay you on his shoulders and carry you home rejoicing. Rejoicing in his love. Rejoicing in his mercy. Rejoicing in his truth. He will rest in his love, we read. He will abide in his love. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. This is a personal word. This is a special word. Real religion is personal. You can't share someone else's religion. You've got to have it for yourself. You have to have the Lord appearing unto you. Be thankful when he appears unto others. It's encouraging for you. But don't rest short. Don't rest until he has appeared unto you and said unto your soul, I am thy salvation. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. Friends, if he never appears unto you in this life, in mercy, you cannot expect him to appear for you in mercy at the judgment seat. If you know nothing of him in this life, And if you go through life desiring not the knowledge of his ways, content without God, you're on the road to hell. And if you die in that state, don't expect the Lord to appear for you. It's his children he appears for at the judgment seat, but he appears for them in this life first. The Lord have appeared of old unto me. Yes, sinner, you, unworthy, far off, hopeless, helpless, wretched, undone, bankrupt, continually wandering, in disgrace. The Lord have appeared of old unto me, unto you, in that state. Why? Is it not a wonder, isn't it, that he appears? But why does he appear? Because of his unmerited love. No other reason. God would never appear to any one of us if we had to merit his favour, if we had to buy or earn his love. There would be no hope for any one of Adam's race. But because this love is an unmerited love, bestowed on unworthy sinners, even to the most unworthy, even to the most deep in debt, even to the most hopeless this evening, the Lord have appeared of old unto me. For some of you, he's appearing for the first time to show you his love, to show you his mercy, to show you his peace. With others, he's returning as he has done in time past. To establish and confirm you in the faith, and to bring you back to what we read later on in Jeremiah 31. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. Sovereign mercy has bid you return, backsliding one, to the paths that you once forsook. The path of humility, that path of contrition, that path of confession. That path of obedience, the way of holiness. Turn again to these thy cities. Turn thine heart, set thine heart toward the highway. That's where you went wrong, wasn't it, believer? Your heart was turned out of the way into those paths of ruin, disgrace and sin. But now the Lord is returning unto you, although you are unworthy. And he is going to give you that heart to return. That longing, that desire, that appetite for him. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. Saying, what has he said? What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Perhaps that's a word of rebuke for one of you. He has spoken. He has made known to you his love. He has drawn near and said, daughter, what more can he say? Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Having called you daughter, he will never disown you. Having called you son, he'll never turn his back on you. He will discipline. He will chasten. He will correct. But he'll never cast you out. He'll never cast you off. And he'll never cast you into hell. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. It is thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks to thee, say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Be your favoured to know the love of Christ, it will make you love him in return. And that love will constrain you into paths you would never have gone otherwise. It will constrain you to turn your back on sin. It will constrain you to leave that ungodly company, that worldly pursuit, that sinful entertainment. And it will lead you in the paths of righteousness, into the paths of truth, into the path of holiness. If you love the Lord, you'll love his sacred, holy, and precious word. Because it speaks of your Lord and your Master, your Redeemer, your friend. If you love the Lord, you'll love his people. Because they're your brethren. You have the same Father. You have the same Saviour. You have the same Comforter. May we love as brethren. If you love the Lord, you'll love his house, the place where his honour dwelleth, the place where his name is preached. And you'll come to the house of God with that one desire, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, help us souls have here a friend. You help the soul this evening. Here's a prayer for you. A prayer for helpless souls. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate, at thy feet I lie. Humbly I entreat thy favour, condescend to hear my cry. Grant me thy divine direction in the way that I should go. Let thine hand be my protection from the power of every foe. Let not then my foes confound me. Thou art all my help and hope. Let thine arms of love surround me. let thy mercy hold me up. Gracious Saviour, never leave me while my toils and conflicts last. To thy kind embrace receive me, when the storms of life are past. Helpless souls have a friend in this Saviour. If you love the Lord, you'll come to him as a helpless soul. You'll come to him with nothing, and you'll receive from him everything that you need. That's one of the reasons why you'll delight to be in the house of God, as you hear this precious Jesus preached. Of how he receives sinners and eats with them. And how there's mercy for the bankrupt. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. This word, yea, it seems to me to be the answer to a question. And noticing that this word is said to Israel, who are in the wilderness, barren place, a hard place, a lonely place. Is that where you are this evening? You're in the wilderness in your soul. You're in the wilderness in your family. You're in the wilderness in your business. And you've asked this question, and Satan has asked it of you. Where is now thy God? Does he love you? Has he not deserted you? Well, friends, I'll tell you where your God is. He's on the throne of mercy. I'll tell you where he is this evening hour. He's praying for you. He's calling you as he called those disciples all those years ago. You are toiling in rowing, aren't you? You don't think you're making headway. You're in the dark. Darkness has hid him from your view. You feel alone, the devil oppressing you. But remember two things. While those disciples toiled, our Lord was praying for them as they toiled. And although the darkness had caused them to lose sight of him, we read, he saw them toiling and rowing. He never lost sight of them. Poor trembling believer from afar this evening, in this wilderness, while you're toiling, your Saviour is praying for you, that your faith fail not. While you are toiling, your Lord and your Redeemer, its eye of love, mercy and compassion is upon you for good. And here is his answer to you this evening. Yea, yes, in spite of all your fears. Yes, in spite of all your doubts. Yea, in spite of all your tremblings. Yea, in spite of all this darkness. In spite of all this discouragement, in spite of all this opposition, yea, I have loved thee. Yes, the devil has questioned it. And you've half believed the devil, haven't you? Well, here's the Lord's answer. Yea, I have loved thee. And if he has loved you, he loves you still. And if he has loved you, he loves you eternally. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Now let's look at this love. We can only touch the surface this evening. If we spent a whole lifetime on this subject, we would only begin to understand it. It will take an eternity, beloved friends, to be able to plumb the depths of the love of God. May the Lord give us a little glimpse this evening of this everlasting love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Here's his answer. Not a temporary love. It's not love at all. But everlasting love. Not a love that can be extinguished. Not a love that can grow cold. This love is a constant flame. Even when yours, believer, is at such a low ebb, it remains a constant flame. It is an unchanging and unchangeable love. Because God himself is unchangeable in all his attributes. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. This love does not consult your worthiness. This love does not consult your righteousness. It is a love which is completely, totally, absolutely unmerited in those who it is bestowed upon. The cause of love is in God himself, God's divine sovereign love. And as the sovereign God, he has a sovereign right to love whom he will. It's very clear if you go through Scripture that God does not have a universal love in the way that our text is speaking for all of Adam's race. This love is an electing love. That means that in eternity past, God chose a people whom he would love. Now, seek a place in that love. Instead of trying to understand it, instead perhaps of fighting against it, because when all is said and done, election will stand, no matter who come against it. Seek a place in the electing love of God. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. This love is a holy love. It doesn't compromise with God's justice. This love hates sin every bit as the justice of God. but it loves the sinner. Just never forget that point. It is a love which is uncompromising. Standard isn't lowered. This everlasting love, this uncompromising love, this almighty love, a love which is more powerful than any other force on earth, hell or heaven. What was the effects of that love? In eternity past, we see the triune God in love entering into that covenant. The Father in love gives into the hand of his Son this church. And you were a part of it, believer. In love, the Son comes down to this sin-cursed earth. To work that work of righteousness, his love in every stitch of that sacred holy garment. And to die that accursed death. You see this love at its deepest, don't we, at Calvary? Love in every drop of that precious blood that was spilt. And child of God, this evening, your Saviour loved you just as much as he hung on that cross when your sin was laid upon him, as he did in eternity past when he was at the right hand of the Father. And do you think that that love has lessened now? No, believer. Remains that constant flame. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In love, the Holy Ghost fulfills his sacred office. And when he reveals Christ to a poor sinner, it is love, everlasting love, which causes the Spirit of God to court, to see, to show that sinner his sins and cause him to be in want. It's love which delivers that soul from a refuge of lies, from a false peace. It's love which strips you of all your fancied meanness and lays you just as you are in your sin and disgrace before a holy God. And then it's love which leads you to the remedy, to Christ. And if he's begun that work, he'll carry it on and he'll lead you to Christ. It's necessary preparation. What comfort can a Saviour bring to those who've never felt their woe? Before you are made whole, you've got to be made wounded first. Before you need the great physician, you've got to feel your sickness first. Before you're saved, you've got to be lost. It's God's order. In a general way, I know there are exceptions when the Lord has shown someone their pardon first and their sins later, but that's an exception. But the point is, all, without exception, will be brought to this. On the one side, sin, And on the other side, the salvation of God. Have you been brought there? Search your heart this evening. Have you been taught these great two sides of real religion, sin and salvation? Have you been taught to pray with that man, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? I understand Mr. Frank Gosden once preached from that text, and he opened his sermon like this: if you've got more in your religion than this prayer, you've got too much. If you've got less, you haven't got enough. See, it doesn't matter how old a believer is in faith, how close he walks, how experienced he is in the pilgrim way, he'll always need mercy. Well, have we got enough, friends? We have a profession of religion. We all come to the Lord's house week by week. It's right we should do so. We're all favoured to have the Word of God in our homes. But friends, have you got God's mercy with it? Have you got the oil of God's grace? Have you been taught your need of the Saviour? And have you been brought to that cross? Or have we nothing but the outward show? The outward show, friends, didn't save the foolish virgins. And it won't save you either. It's the oil of grace that you need. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And at the root, if you go back to the original, at the root of grace and mercy is this word love. He shows grace to you because he loves you. Then he gives you more grace because he still loves you. He shows you mercy, a poor, helpless, undeserving wretch, because of his everlasting love. He prays for you because you lay on his heart in love. He cares for you. He guides you. And it all traces back to this, the everlasting love of the everlasting God. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And it will constrain you to love him in return. And if you love him, there'll be fruits, won't there? Why do you desire a smile from his face? Because you love him. Why do you desire so much to hear him say, thy sins be forgiven thee? Because you love him. Why do you come to the house of God week by week saying, Lord, visit me with thy salvation? Because you love him. Friend, you wouldn't have those desires if you didn't have that root of love in you. If you don't love someone, it means nothing to you. Whether you're in their company or not, it means nothing to you whether they do anything for you or not. But if you love someone, there's that difference. You'll desire to be with them. You'll desire that contact. Do we love the Lord or no? and believer. Go on in those desires. In the moment, that might be all you have. You desire his presence. You desire his peace. May you be encouraged in this word. We love him because he first loved us. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This loving kindness draws you to the throne of his grace. And that's why the Lord has dealt with you and is dealing with you in the way that he is. It's because he delights to see you come and knock at the door of mercy. And ask for mercy. It's because he delights to hear you plead the name of Jesus. And ask for pardon. It's because he delights to hear you ask for living faith. And that's what this trial has brought, hasn't it? It's shown you yourself and what you've needed. It's shown you what you've lacked. That's why he's brought you in that pathway. He's drawing you in his love. And in his mercy, and in his compassion. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There's a beautiful hymn which really speaks of this love better than I can. "'Twas with an everlasting love that God his own elect embraced, before he made the worlds above, or earth on her huge columns placed. Long ere the sun's refulgent ray, primeval shades of darkness drove, they on his sacred bosom lay, loved with an everlasting love." And you still lay on his sacred bosom this evening. And you will lay there in all your troubles, in all your griefs, in all your trials, in all your temptations, in all your adversities. They can't remove you from this sacred bosom. You've lain there from all eternity. You'll lay there to all eternity. Loved with an everlasting love. Then in the glass of his decrees, Christ and his bride appeared as one. Her sin, that disgrace, that shame, that came between a holy God and you, that caused the distance, that caused all the trouble, that caused all the grief. Her sin by imputation his, while she in spotless splendor shone. That's what love has done. Believer, although you can't see it this evening, some of you, and some of you can, and you're rejoicing in that love, aren't you? But whether you can see it or not, if you lay on the everlasting bosom of the everlasting Father, you're shining this evening in this righteousness, not your own. The righteousness of Christ, a holy garment, a spotless garment, a perfect garment. It covers your sin completely, absolutely and totally. And so this shining holy splendor, it's not, although it's given to you, where does it come from? The Lord Jesus Christ. That garment on, believer, you're fit for heaven. And in that garment you will shine to all eternity. The righteousness of Christ. The fruit of this everlasting love. O love, how high thy glories swell. How great, immutable and free. 10,000 sins as black as hell are swallowed up, O love, in thee. There is no path, no matter how deep you may get into, even if it is a path of sin, believer, but what his love is deeper still. And his love will come and get you out of that pit and bring you back into that way of holiness. Love to when a wretch defiled with sin, at war with heaven, in league with hell, a slave to every lust obscene, who living lived but to rebel. Here's the wonder of this love. In your unregenerate state, when you loved sin, you gloried in it, you lived in it. When you were at war with heaven, every sin is an act of war against a holy God. When you were enslaved to Satan and you delighted and loved that enslavement, when you lived to rebel, believer, he still loved you even then. It was that love that drew you out of that state, that saved you from that path of ruin and disgrace. And believer, you still have a nature, that old nature which still is defiled with sin, which still is at war with heaven, which still is a slave to every lust obscene, which still rebels. You know it painfully, don't you? It doesn't alter the everlasting love that God has for you. Amazing love, isn't it? Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Believer, here thy comfort stands. From first to last, salvation's free. And everlasting love demands an everlasting song from thee. You'll sing an everlasting song in glory. And it will be an eternity well spent. But may we sing here below as well. May we delight to tell of our Jesus and what he has done. May we delight to walk in his ways. May we delight for love's sake, not for a legal sense, but for love's sake, to keep all his commandments. Everlasting love demands an everlasting song from thee. Now in these last minutes in closing, let's consider the final fulfillment of this love. What is it? It's heaven, isn't it? And remembering, believer, what you deserve, eternal hell, eternal banishment, eternal ruin, eternal anger. What has everlasting love got in store for you? Well, we have it, don't we, in the book of the Revelation, in those closing chapters. First of all, we have this promise. God himself shall be with them and be their God, the presence, the immediate, the holy, the eternal presence of a loving God. Here you've had tastes of his love. But there, believer, you will drink to all its fullness. We cannot know a tenth of this fullness here below, nor has God ordained that we should. It far, far surpasses all human understanding, all human comprehension. The immediate presence of a loving God. To see his smile. You've lived by faith, believe those smiles, haven't you? And it's been heaven. Believer, to all eternity, he's going to bless you with those smiles in his immediate presence. You've heard his whisper of love by faith. There you'll hear his voice. Literally. Here below, you've seen by faith those wounds. A wounded Saviour. In glory, it will be your sacred privilege to worship in the presence of the Lamb that had been slain, as we read in the elsewhere in the book of the Revelation, slain no more, but had been slain, still bears a prince of his love. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are all passed away. There shall be no night there, we read, no more darkness, no more distress, no more distance, no more coldness, no more curse. It will be a place of eternal worship. Eternal happiness, eternal peace, eternal joy. Where you will sing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory. Worship has no end there, friend. And there you'll worship as you should, purely. No sin to drag you down, wholly and completely. Totally taken up. All the conversation of heaven will be holy conversation. All the thoughts of heaven will be holy thoughts. They'll all be centered upon a triune God. The everlasting love of God, it'll know no end. Oh, may we live to reach that place where he unveils his lovely face, there all his beauties to behold, and sing his name to harps of gold. Will you be there? Will you be there? Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £625, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us now close with hymn 607. Rejoice, ye saints, rejoice in Christ your glorious head, with heart and soul and voice his matchless honours spread. Exalt his love, proclaim his name, and sweetly sing the Lamb once slain. 607.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that has been wrong in the worship of thy great and holy name here this day. Bless thy word to our souls and lead us to know the everlasting love of our covenant God. Be with those who now go on their way, thy way. Take them, Lord, in safety, in peace, and in thy love. And likewise grant, Lord, thy sacred presence to those of us now who at thy command come to remember our dying Lord. May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, favour, union and communion of God, the Holy Ghost, abide with you each now and forevermore. Amen.